The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, welcome to back to the Believe You Me podcast with myself and Mike Harrington. Just me and Mike on today's show. Massive fights at the weekend, lots to talk about, lots to go through, lots of storylines, lots of upset, highs and lows, twos and fros. Harrington, Mike Harrington, coming at us from a very well-lit room. You're looking happy. You're looking good. How the hell are you?
Dude, I'm doing absolutely incredible. It was a great night of fights. I had it capped off a great weekend. I have absolutely no complaints. Life could not be better right now. And I think room is a reflection of that.
Oh, there you go. The brightness, the happiness, the color, the vibe, the smile. Look at this guy. Never seen him look so happy. So good for you, Brian. Harrington, pardon me. In fact, speaking of the devil, what's up, bud?
What's up, guys? How are you?
I'm seeing a different look on the facial hair. You're going for like a bit of a mustache into a goatee type thing.
I haven't looked in a mirror in 4 days, so this is literally what happens.
Yeah, hold on. Are you turning into Harrington and Harrington's turning into Brian?
I hope not. Really do. I really hope not.
I'd be embarrassed if you did.
Oh, God. That would be something. Listen, UFC 269 was at the weekend. Obviously, we always like to try and think of some non-MMA stuff and all the rest of it. Blah, 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 blah. But there's so many fucking things to talk about. There's so many storylines, and we got some good little funny ones. But Saturday night, 269, a lot of upsets on the card. A lot of shit went down. But, and give me some details on this first storyline that we have about the bets, Harry, to just be prepared. But as we know, it's an unpredictable sport. And I don't really bet on the sport of mixed martial arts. I do sometimes, you know, when I get round to it. But I do know that this is a very fickle sport. And just because one guy's on the top or one lady's on top, you know, anything can happen. You zig when you should have zagged. You bob when you should have weaved. You sprawled when you should have punched. I don't know. I could go on all day. So it's a tough one. But sometimes you have a little flutter. You put a few dollars on. You certainly don't put, and if you've won, you look like a genius, you don't put $318,000 on Amanda Nunes to beat Juliana Pena to only win $40,000 in return. Call me stupid, and if there's anything I'm missing, Harrington, jump in right now. But the risk versus reward doesn't really make sense.
Here's the thing. So given the amount of times you would have to do that right? You'd have to be right on 10 fights to make sure that you were guaranteeing yourself a profit, right? If that was always about the return you were going to make. I mean, if you think about the Amanda Nunes who fought Raquel Pennington, if you think about the Amanda Nunes we've seen in the past who looked like she was just walking through foes like a knife through butter, there is a case to be made. Just Juliana Pena was not the one.
Juliana Pena was not the one. Listen, here's the stats. Listen, it was an upset. It was an upset of epic proportions. That fight went out there and started the way it was supposed to start. But MMA is a cruel mistress. Do you know what I mean? People build up confidence, you know, and I spoke to Amanda Nunes last week. And she's like, no. You know, I train it all the time. It sounded like fucking Arnold, but she says she's training all the time and she's not taking it lightly and all the rest of it. But still, as a human being, we're only fucking human. The confidence comes in. Well, she hasn't been beaten since 2014, something like 12 in a row. Fucking bantamweight champ, featherweight champ. She's knocking people out. She's submitting them. The world's at her feet. It's only natural that sometimes you might just step off the gas a little bit, you know? And she went out there. She dominated the first round. She made it look like she was the way better fighter. And she is the way better fighter. No disrespect. She can. She's got better stand-up. She's got probably better jiu-jitsu. When they were both even, when Juliana tried to take it down, she hip-tossed her, you know, and got on top. But she got tired. It was as simple as that. And now fair play to Juliana. Juliana made her quit. Nunes quit. That sounds bad to say. I'm a fan of Nunes. If, when I explain, you'll understand what I mean by that. It's our job. If you're, when you're in there in the octagon, it's your job to make your opponent quit. You know what I mean? So saying that she quit isn't bad. That's what we're trying to make them do. We're trying to beat them into to where they're either unconscious, where they subconsciously quit, where they curl up in a ball on the floor and they don't want to fight back. They quit, then the referee stops it. Or you made them tap. So saying that she quit isn't a bad thing, but it's because of the cardio. She got so fucking tired, and I'm telling you, not having stamina, running out of breath, gasping for air makes a coward out of everybody.
So, Mike, that was the biggest thing that jumped out to me was just how gassed she was, you know, as you said, heading into that second round there, and then Juliana just turning up the pace on her to exploit that cardio. My question, like, Amanda Nunes pulled out of this fight back in August due to COVID-19. Could this be, like, just a complication from the COVID-19 virus where people are having a hard time getting their win back and taking this fight, what, 3-4 months later? Could that have affected her performance on Saturday night?
Well, as we know, I am a doctor and I have studied the COVID-19 strain and the effects on the cardiovascular system at great length. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for asking me this question and teeing me up, allowing me to go on and on and on. Well, in my studies, Harrington, what I found when I was looking through the microscope on how these cells, in fact, affect the lungs and the hemoglobin of the cardiovascular system. When I saw this, when I saw the impact, I'm like, no way. Nunes is going to get tired. I don't fucking know. I'm not a doctor. But you're right. There is talk of that. This long COVID has apparently is a thing. Apparently it exists. So you never know. Maybe that is why. Maybe. I feel that that's given, it's doing a bit of a disservice to Pena. You know, I think what happened was maybe she never pushed herself as much as she should have done in training camp. Right. Then she got tired, which of course, you know, happens. Then she was getting punched in the face. And Nunes, there was strategic errors. There was, right? And she'll probably know that. I mean, she lost the fight. Because everything went good, can you? You know what I mean? You lost the fight. You got stopped. You got choked out in the second round. She knows it didn't go to plan. The plan was for not for that to happen. But what happened was she kept trying to go in with the right hand every time, and Pena's jab was beating her. And for about 4 or 5 attempts, she kept trying to come in with a big power shot, and Pena was jabbing her hard. I think Pena has the longer reach, and the jab, you know, with the lead hand is going to hit closer than the right hand. But Nunes didn't make any changes. She kept going in on a straight line. There was no angles. There was no head movement. There was just every time trying to do the same thing. And I think maybe a little bit of ego takes over, you know, because she's thinking, I've stood there toe-to-toe with Chris Cyborg. I could take this girl out of here. Yeah, she's connecting with me, so what? But I'm going to get her. But when you start getting hit, it takes a toll. Takes a toll in many ways. It takes a toll on your strategy. It takes a toll on your cardio. It takes a toll on your general wherewithal. I mean, what Nunes should have done was get on a bike, dance around a little bit. Use a footwork. Nothing wrong with saying, oh, fuck, I'm a little hurt here. I'm going to dance around and take my time. She never did that. She kept going forward. She paid the ultimate price.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at somebody like Nunes who, as you said, like ate the big shots from Chris Cyborg and just kept moving inside and throwing power. And I mean, when I was watching the fight and I was texting you guys, like that was my biggest reaction was Nunes is still there. She's getting tagged 2, 3, 4 shots sometimes, but she's still landing these big power shots on Pena. At what point, you know, as a power striker, do you have to, you know, question, all right, can I get the job done in this one shot here and keep moving? And have you ever seen anyone do that? You know,
well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I've watched so many fights over the years. It's hard to single one out. But just when you start getting tagged a lot, there's nothing wrong with taking the back step, dancing around a bit, using your footwork. I mean, you got that gigantic octagon. You got all that space. You don't need to do that. Now, of course, the crowd likes that. The crowd love it when you stand toe to toe. But look, she never won the fight. I mean, you see it. many, many skilled boxers. You know, they'll dance around, they'll take a round off. They're trying to recover them, use some head movement, a little ring craftsmanship. You know what I mean? Make it look like you're still fighting, but you're just dancing around. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a rather pedestrian round. Maybe the crowd starts to boo, but you're secretly fucking recovering inside and you're taking some time off and you're lowering the output. You take some deep breaths and you're clearing your head. Listen, she never did that. It was exciting as hell. Fair play to Juliana Pena. Got the takedown, got the submission, because she was tired. The hooks weren't even in, you know? But again, it's not like she quit in the general sense of the word. As I say, when you're tired, when you're fucked, that's why I always talk about cardio. Cardio changes everyone. You know what I mean? If you got cardio for days, you're good. And you just want to sit down. We've all been there. You know what that feels like. And then imagine someone on top of you as well, strangling you at the same time. And all you got to do is that. All you got to do is tap on the mat and the pain ends. You don't have to endure it for any longer. All of a sudden, it's good. And then you probably got in the back of your mind as well, hey, I'm the GOAT. I'll let this one go today. I'll probably get an instant rematch. Fuck it. I'll let you have this one, but I'll be back. I'll see you in 3 months, motherfucker. You know, who knows if that was the thought process, but you never know. There's a potential for it.
I think Bisping said it best.
So now this does leave an interesting situation where we've seen a champion, you know, vacate her title. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen the champion voluntarily, you know, the give up her title. She is still the 145-pound champion. So do you think it does go to that? Does it go to the immediate rematch at 135? Or do you think she moves up to 145 and just defends that for a while?
I don't know. I'm not sure what Dana commented on the post-fight press conference or even if he touched on that. I never saw it. But one would think, generally, when a champion that is that dominant, you know what I mean, you generally get the immediate rematch. Look at Sarah and GSP. You know, I think GSP fought someone in the meantime because Matt was injured, but that was Matt's next fight. Generally, that's what you see all the time. Do you know what I mean? So one would think that that would do that. That's what's going to happen. But of course, then they're 1-1. Then you're probably going to see a rubber match. Well, that's only the only fair thing to do. You know, she's still the 45-pound champ. She's still excited. She's still awesome. I'm a massive fan of Amanda Nunes. Hey, fair play to Pena, though. Fair play to Pena for delivering the pain. Couldn't resist. All right, let's just talk about good old BlueChew.com. If you like sex, you're going to like BlueChew. If you're already good, but you want a performance enhancement for the bedroom, then BlueChew.com are going to take care of that. At BlueChew, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. They can work as fast as pills. In fact, they can work twice as fast. Guess what? You're just eating. You're full. You can still take them. Or what's that? You're starving. Your stomach's empty. You can still take them. What's that? You don't want to go see a doctor. Guess what? This is all done online. No awkward conversation. None of that stuff. They show up in a box. Nobody needs to know your business. Discreet packaging. Okay, open it up. There you go. You're off to the races. Harrington, have you been off to the races lately?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I have this new setup here. It's largely due to, you know, by living with my girlfriend. And at this point, I need to do whatever I can to keep her. So certainly a little bit of enhancement in the mail from our friends over at Blue Chew is not hurting my living situation.
So you're saying that BlueChew.com, not only will it enhance your bedroom performance, it's going to enhance your lighting and audio visual setup for a podcast. I mean, that is the greatest sex pill ever known to man.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And you can try it for free right now. If you head on over to BlueChew.com and use our promo code, you're going to pay $5 shipping. But with that promo code, Believe, you're getting the entire first order for free.
That would be the month of January, or maybe you get half of December, half of January. But the first month of the new year, you're going to have an enhancement for the bedroom. Your wife, your partner, your girlfriend, your significant other is going to say, wow, you really are starting off the new year with a bang, pun intended. Go to BlueChew.com. The code is Believe. You pay just $5 shipping for your first month for free. You are welcome. Bang away. Chew it and do it. Merry goddamn Christmas. Okay, where were we? Dustin Poirier. Charles Oliveira, holy shit. Give me your thoughts, Harrington. I'm going to let you talk here.
I mean, this absolutely blew me away. That second round, right? That second round, the mauling of Dustin Poirier is some of the most brutal top game I've ever seen. The smothering of the face, the framing on the neck as he's setting up those elbows. I mean, to weather the storm in the first round and find yourself in that dominant of a position, you know, for what, 5-10 minutes later in real time, has to be just the most satisfying feeling, just knowing it's a matter of time before this fight is over. Incredible.
Yeah, listen, I thought Charles Oliveira Saturday night was fantastic. You know, the narrative around Charles, and it's been spoken about many times, so it's old hat to say this now, but the guy's a quitter. The guy doesn't have heart, you know, and he was finished a lot of times in the UFC, but you can't say that now. Look what he did against Chandler, right? At the end of the first round, he could have quit there. Look what he did against Dustin Poirier just then. Got his ass kicked in the first round. You know, yes, he did some damage in himself as well. He made it a competitive round, but he got dropped a couple of times. Things weren't going well, you know, and then he turns the tide like that. In round two, he thought, fuck this, switch it up. Let's not stand toe to toe because I just got outboxed for the most part. He did some good work. He landed some good knees, some nice teeps. He landed some good punches. He definitely got Dustin's attention, but he got dropped. He lost that round. So round two, switched it up, went back to the well with the jiu-jitsu. You know, took him down. Joe Rogan was going on saying he thought, suspected that something might have been wrong with Dustin's rib because he wasn't trying to get up and he wasn't opening the guard. And I'm not saying I'm a know-it-all or smarter than Joe when it comes to that, but my take on it, and it turned out to be right, was I thought, no, he doesn't want to open the guard because Oliveira's that fucking good on the ground. When you open the guard, yes, you can get back to the feet. Yes, you can go for submissions, but you can also have the guard passed. You know, and if you start trying to do that and the fence is so far away, could be in a world of trouble with Charles Oliveira. So he just fucking tied the guard, played the guard game, the closed guard game, the body triangle game, and just rolled out the round, you know, to go back in round three. But round three, he gave up the back again, and Charles didn't fuck about. I mean, unbelievable. What a story. I don't think many people were giving Charles much of a chance in that fight. I know Dustin was the favorite, but... Fuck, man. He was unreal. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, what was incredible to me, I remember texting you and Brian the night of just how tired Dustin Poirier was at the end of that first round, right? Because it really did feel to me like Charles Oliveira had taken Dustin Poirier's best shot, right? Like you said, got dropped a couple of times, but he was still in Poirier's face to end that round, still trying to land the elbows up close. And it, to me, there was something about the pressure he was putting on to end that round to say, I'm still here. To see Dustin that tired heading into the second round, it was like, oh, this is just a matter of time. Like, it does feel, I was going to make the comparison to say it's kind of Khabib-like, you know? Like, it feels like Charles Oliveira gains ahead of steam and you feel that momentum picking up and there's just nowhere for you to go.
Yeah, and he's just got such a complete skill set that, as I said before, if plan A isn't working, he can go to plan B. He's probably got a C and D as well. That's the beauty of being so well-rounded. Don't get me wrong. Dustin can fucking wrestle and do jiu-jitsu and all that other good stuff. You know what I mean? But not to the level that Charles can. And he doesn't want to play that game with Charles. That's the thing. I mean, I've spoken about this before, but real quick. Dustin could probably play the jiu-jitsu game with him for a while. We've seen Charles lose that, you know, in mixed martial arts. But when you do play that game, you're allowing openings, and openings lead to submissions against Charles Oliveira. So he made the right decision to a certain degree. I'm not going to say it was a bad move, but round three, he gave up his back as he was defending against the fence. That's number one rule. You cannot give up your back. If you're against the fence, you got to have both shoulders on that fence all the time. As soon as you kind of turn a little bit and you just give up a quarter of your back, you allow your opponent to shimmy into that little gap. And then they start getting their arms around you and all this type of shit. And the next minute, you're getting fucking choked while you're standing up, getting fucking made a fool out of by DuBronx. It's like, no bad. At least take me down. At least put me on the floor and choke me out, you bitch. No, listen, couldn't be happier for Charles. Could not be happier. Devastated for Dustin, though. Great guy. Class act. What a career. You know, but there it is. You know, the best man on the night was Charles Oliveira. You know, but the person that stole his fucking sunglasses or his glasses did not have any respect for him. Did you see that?
I did. It was, Charles Oliveira, man of the people, right? Going out, saying what up to the fans. And then this joker.
Look at this asshole. Hold on. Taking pictures. There's Steve, head of security. Hold on. Turns out still got the glasses. What? Yoink. Little bastard. Little bastard. See, that's the thing. I've been there many times, obviously, lots of fights. When you're walking out, it's beautiful. It's a great moment. Everyone wants to congratulate you and cheers you, and they want to get a bloody selfie and a high five and all that stuff. And you feel like a rock star, and it's an awesome moment, and it's beautiful. It is, you know, and I've been there, and I've had some moments where drinks get spilled all over. Even when I'm like in clothes, when I haven't been fighting, when you walk through, you know, you kind of get that moment a bit as well, which is nice as well. You know, and I've had drinks spilled on me. You get people grabbing you around the head, messing all your hair up, or messing your shirt up. I've never had someone steal my fucking glasses, though. Son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to get pretty close at that point. And it was like the funniest part of that clip to me is the guy who didn't take the glasses, right? There's the other guy who's like, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I just saw what you did to Dustin Poirier in there. Like, do not start swinging. Look at this dude, dude.
Yeah.
Straight fear. Please don't hit me.
It wasn't me. No, that's funny, though. I wonder if he ever got them back. So, Charles Oliveira is the undisputed champion and still couldn't be happier for that man. I don't know how the pay-per-view did, but he's making good money now and he deserves it after such a long run. And of course, what about Dustin Poirier? Still made a $20,000 donation out of his own money to Charles Oliveira to support and help the community that he's from. He said, I've seen where Charles is from. It's a very deprived area, a lot of poverty. Made a donation of $20,000 even after losing the fight. How can you not respect that?
I mean, dude, just truly an ambassador for sportsmanship, for doing things the right way, a role model to children everywhere. I mean, Dustin Poirier can, you know, walk out with his head high knowing he has had a very fulfilling career. And it is a lot of his legacy is going to be gestures like that. The Good Fight Foundation, trading jerseys with Habib in Abu Dhabi or, Fight Island. That one.
I mean, guy's a legend. He's a legend, you know, because it's great doing things in the octagon. It's great putting on these performances, you know, but how you handle yourself outside the octagon as well. Listen, I know I had regrettable moments throughout the course of my career, but I grew up a bit and there are less and less these days. But Dustin's, I don't think there's ever really been any controversy that came from Dustin. And all he does is fight his fucking ass off, go up against the best in the world, time after time after time, put on amazing performances, and then do dope shit outside of the octagon. Do you know what I mean? You got to love this guy. And I felt so sorry for him because I know how much it meant to him. And I've spoken to him, you know, about this multiple times, you know, and he very kindly used me as an inspiration, which was very humbling. But I know, and there's other people as well, like Glover Teixeira. I'm not the only, there's lots of cases of people, Charles Oliveira himself, that took the long way round, you know, and he wanted to be one of those guys. And it's not over. It's not necessarily over. Just because you just lost in a world title fight for the undisputed belt doesn't mean your career is in the fucking trash can. Do you know what I mean? I think what they do is, I talked about this on my YouTube channel, so sorry to repeat myself if you saw it, but Dustin should take 6 months off. Just enjoy the spoils of his career. Go spend some time with his family. Work on the Good Fight Foundation. Just do whatever. Take a little time away from getting punched in the fucking face, right? Spend some of that money. Have a couple of vacations with your family. And in the meantime, you let all the other top dogs fight it out amongst themselves. You let Justin Gaethje go in and fight Charles. You let Benil and Islam fight each other, right? You let all the dust settle on all that situation. Then he can come back. Probably have that fourth fight with Conor McGregor. And if he beats Conor McGregor and everyone else has just fought it out and it's time for whoever's got the belt at that point to fight someone, Dustin's the next fucking man in line. As opposed to fighting four or five times, shit out. Let those motherfuckers fight it out.
So that is super interesting, especially given the quote that he had here. I mean, did you see him talk in the post-fight press conference at all?
I didn't know.
Okay, so like this was really affecting to me. Dustin was honest. He said, I can do anything I put my mind to. I can fight for another belt. I can go on another streak. I can claw and climb my way and get back to wherever I want to be. It's just, do I want to? That's the question I have to look in the mirror and answer. Do I want to do it again? Do I want to go down that road again? The answer will come in the next couple of days, couple of weeks. Just need to let this pass and see what's next for me. But if it's in my heart, that's what I want to do. I'll be here again fighting for another world title.
Well, I think it will be in his heart. I think it will be in his heart because that's who he is. That's what he's cut from. I think he's only, 32 years old? So he's still a young man, still got plenty of fights, performances, still got lots to offer to the world of mixed martial arts. So I think we will see him and that fire will burn. He'll be devastated. He'll be sad. You know, this was his life's work. It's supposed to be his crowning moment. But MMA is a cruel mistress, like Dustin found out, like the guy, like Amanda Nunes found out, like the motherfucker that lost $328,000 at the weekend on a stupid bet found out, you know? There you go. All right, let's just hear from JamesAllen.com. JamesAllen.com is the fastest growing online retailer of engagement rings and diamond jewelry. It allows customers to easily design and order engagement rings and order fine jewelry entirely online through its advanced technology, including an augmented reality ring try-on app and proprietary 360-degree diamond display technology that shows what each actual diamond looks like from every angle in HD. The company has earned industry-leading customer satisfaction scores. I mean, that is very cool because you see a lot of deals online and a lot of the time, you don't know how it's going to look on. As I said, with that app that they have, you can try it on and see what it's going to look like. Pretty incredible. Yeah, so basically, jamesallen.com is a website that you go to when you're looking for a special something for that special someone in your life. And of course, it's Christmas coming up soon. And if you have a special somebody in your life, why not treat them to a beautiful diamond ring or something similar? Listen, jamesallen.com allows you to customize the perfect piece of jewelry depending on your preference and your budget. You can choose the diamond's origin, earth created or lab created, the diamond's quality, color and clarity, metal, carat size, and prong style. Okay, so listen, lab created diamonds. Okay, so they're chemically, structurally, and visually the same as earth created diamonds, but you save 30%. Luxury shopping, but smarter. All diamonds are handpicked for maximum sparkle and brought to you online, giving you access to the best quality at the best prices. All diamonds, all the time, 24/7 non-commissioned customer service, the gold standard, complimentary lifetime services, and a 100% money back guarantee within 30 days. So you can go on there, you can see what you want, you get an earth created, you can get it lab created. It's 30% cheaper like that. But guess what? With our promo code, when you go to jamesallen.com, you go through the website, you see what you want, you pick out the bad boy that's going to make the big impression, and then you use the promo code BYM30. That's going to save you another percent off your order. So there you go. Go to jamesallen.com, James, A-L-L-E-N, jamesallen.com. That is the website. Promo code BYM30 for a huge 30% off whatever you choose. Happy shopping, and I hope whoever you're shopping for likes it. Okay, where were we? There was a bit of drama backstage with Dana White talking about Israel Adesanya, was there? We're going to talk about the other fights, but I saw you put something in the notes. I know nothing about this. So just to mix up the content as opposed to being a total review show, what's going on? What did Dana White say about Izzy? I didn't see it.
Okay, so what happened was the UFC put out a fight announcement. UFC 271 in February is going to feature Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. Now, this date
271 February, location?
Houston, Texas.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So they were, Eugene Behrman had come out a couple of weeks ago and said that, you know, he wasn't sure if this Whittaker fight was going to happen on this date. UFC puts it out. Israel Adesanya responds himself with the cap emoji.
Okay.
So,
what does that mean?
The cap emoji means that they're capping or they're lying.
Hold on. If somebody puts a cap emoji, that means you're lying.
Yeah, it means it's all cap.
What is the fuck going on? It's all cap. Well, yeah, cap isn't slang for lying, is it?
Yeah, yeah. So when people say no cap. Dumb.
Yo, yeah. Get the yo, bro. This is all cap. Give me a sentence that would be used in. Get the cap. Where are
you? You just did it.
This is all cap.
Yeah, Oliveira's the.
Give me the origination.
Oliveira's the best 155er right now. No cap.
Really?
Yeah, like no lies, no doubt. You know what I mean?
Go to Urban Dictionary, please, Brian. Look up cap. I want to know how the fuck they get to this. Listen, I know there's some stupid expressions in England with the Cockney rhyming slang and all the rest of it, but at least you can find some rhyme and reason, literally some rhyme and reason as to why it's like that. You know, apples and pears, stairs, trouble and strife, wife. You know what I mean? Joe Baxi, taxi, Joby, cap, the word lying. Basically, another word for lying, it can be used like no cap, or you can say stop capping. Well, you learn something new every day. I mean, Jesus Christ. I thought I was hit with it. I thought I was down with the kids. Fucking right. Caps emojis mean that you're lying. So go on. So what happened?
So Dana White heard about this. You know, the people at the press conference were asking him, like, hey, if your fighter is coming out and saying that you're essentially selling wolf tickets here. Yeah, he's throwing the cap shade at you. You know, Dana White responded, why would we lie? When have we ever fucking lied? The fight's coming up and we lied about it. 20 fucking years have we lied about making a fight? Some fights are harder to make than others, but I don't think we've ever lied about making a fight. Why would we lie about this fight? He then continued on, listen, if he doesn't want to fight Whitaker, okay, then I guess we'll find another fight. Who gives a shit? I definitely don't give a shit. I don't, you don't want Whitaker fight to be on? Okay, then find something else.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, to be fair to Dana, when have they lied about a fight announcement? I can't think of one. And why would they do that? I'm assuming they've been come on, that is the number one fight for Israel right now. Yeah, Whitaker's fucking beating them all. He beat Till, he beat Cannonier. He beat Gastelum, put on a fucking masterpiece there. He's clearly established himself as the next number one guy, and Izzy has been beating people. I think it's time for that rematch. I think everyone knows that. That is the general consensus, and it seems like if Dana's putting that out there and the UFC are putting that out there, then one would assume, and I don't know because I haven't been a part of these conversations, but I would assume that if the UFC make an announcement, that they would have spoke to the champion first. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, but that would generally be the flow of the circumstances. Speak to the fighter. Yo, this fight's happening there. They say yes. They book the fight. They make it public knowledge. That is what I would say would be the run of events. So it's a bit weird that he's coming out with a cap.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, everyone has been talking for months. Like, this fight is already set in stone. I mean, it's hit every single rumor mill. I mean, it's everything but the official UFC announcement. I was assuming that the UFC is not going to do that step unless they got it signed on the dotted line by everybody. So for Adesanya to throw this out there, I mean, do you think it is a play for him to get a different opponent? Is there some reason why he wouldn't want to fight Whitaker? Is it, you know?
I have no idea, but judging by Adesanya saying that and judging by Dana's response saying, okay, well, if he doesn't want the fight, we'll find another fight. I would assume that based upon that Izzy hasn't signed a contract for it, you know, and maybe they just haven't agreed to terms. Maybe, who knows? I don't want to speak too much about negotiations between the president of the organization and one of the biggest stars. It's not for me to speak about those things. Certainly being an employee of the company, you got to be respectful. Big drama show. Big drama show. Cap, no cap. All right. What else? Should we go back to some of these fights? What else do we have? Oh. Key Kaikor of France. Cody Garbrandt. Poor guy. What the fuck? Kaikor of France was awesome. God bless him. Amazing performance. Well done, that man. But Cody Garbrandt, I just can't help but feel for him. You know, the fall from grace, if you will. The knockouts, the losses, the domination to Rob Font, dropping down to a new weight class, trying to reestablish himself, start trying to reinvent himself, and to get knocked out viciously in the first round.
Is Cody done now?
Well, that's the question, Brian. That is the question. That is the question, because just bring up his record. I'm not sure what it is. It's very spotty. I know he lost.
He's lost five of his last six, four of them by way of knockout.
Five of the last six, four of them by way of knockout. So you've been beaten five times in the last six. Four of those you got knocked out, and some of them are bad knockouts. It's dangerous.
It says here he's 12-5-0.
Yeah. And those five have come pretty quick as well. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's done. I shouldn't say that. I know that going down to 125, when you drop a weight class, isn't, you know, all it's cracked up to be. Look at TJ, went down to 125, got done off Cejudo. I know I could take a punch better at 205. You're a bigger man. When you restrict yourself, when you lose muscle, you lose power, when you dehydrate yourself, it affects your ability to take a shot. And certainly when history has shown that you have a propensity lately for getting knocked out as well, that's not going to help. I'm not going to say that he's done, but he needs to take some time away from the sport. You know what I mean? He needs to take some time away and then come back. And if he gets knocked out in that one, then yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you because, you know, you mentioned on last week's show when you were talking to Alan Jobin that Cody Garbrandt was saying that the weight cut was going phenomenally. He felt like he was in better shape, blah, blah, blah. Have we ever heard of a guy who's cutting weight where, you know, he says anything different? You know, like it feels like that's the standard line. But to me, Cody Garbrandt does not look right at 125. That does not seem like a reasonable weight class. Doesn't seem like the him dropping down there to makes a ton of sense. And I don't think his speed necessarily translates to that division. You know, like those guys are a lot quicker, you know, for somebody like Cody Garbrandt. So I don't think this 125 cut makes any sense. If he does come back to the UFC, it should be at 135. No.
Yeah, I agree. Well, certainly after that disastrous attempt at a new weight class. You know, it didn't go very well. Kaikara France is a really good fighter. Don't get me wrong. Number six in the world, I think he was. Still is probably because Cody wasn't ranked there. But yeah, don't do that again. Take 6 months off, come back. It's hard, isn't it? Think about it. You're Cody Garbrandt. You go out there, you annihilate Dominic Cruz. You make it look easy. You're the champion of the world. You're falling into that lifestyle. You know, I know he was buying a lot of suits and watches and because, you know, you're new to it all. And all of a sudden, he was on some big cards and you're making fucking millions of dollars. And then you're getting knocked out and you're like, fuck, hold on. What's happening? Do you know what I mean? So fuck it. Put me back in. Let's go again. I can do this. I've still got it. Doesn't go your way. Fuck it. Put me back in. I know I can do it. Fuck that one. That one was a fluke. I messed up. I zigged when I should have zagged. I stayed in the pocket too long. Put me back in. Boom, you get knocked out. Oh, fuck. You know, now it's time to really start, you know. You got to think about it, his next move very carefully because it's the effect on the brain. It's the effect on the brain. It's not a joke. It is not a fucking joke. You know, it's real. People step in there. They think it's fun and games, man. You think it's fun and games until fucking you're slow in your words and you can't remember your kid's name when you're older. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to him, but that is kind of the consequences. Combat sports are a motherfucker. Simple as that. What else did we have on? What else do we have? Oh, of course. Sugar Sean O'Malley. Fuck me. O'Malley. Delivering the goods. Kicking ass. Living up to the hype. You know, backing up the words in every sense of the way. What a tremendous performance.
Dude, I mean, and then he's hit that signature, like he has the crossover move. Like to me, that's kind of his McGregor strut at this point, right? He hit the crossover move in his last fight. So he got the knockout here.
The basketball.
Yeah. So it's like the dribble between the legs into the shot. Like that seems like he's got his signature, you know, celebration down, which to me was the only part that was missing from his game. Everything else is clearly there. That striking was absolutely incredible. I did hit up shout out Diego Lopez. I asked him, does Pava have a chance here? And he's like, if the head movement's there. And then I watched the fight and it's like, bing, bang, every single shot O'Malley was throwing, it didn't matter how that head was moving. Everything was landing on target. That was a masterful performance.
You're absolutely right, Harrington. You know, to be fair, I was doing the same thing. I was sitting there, I'm looking at Sean O'Malley. I'm saying, here we have a guy. He has great skills, excellent footwork, in and out movement, side to side, lateral, whatever you want to call it. He's got the jabs. He's got the right hands. He's got the power. He's got the flow. He's got the momentum. He's got the world on his side. He's got hair like 6'9". He dresses well. He's snappy, he's sharp, he's got the YouTube channel, he's got the sponsors, he's got it all at his fingertips. But this motherfucker doesn't have a signature celebration. He ain't gonna go nowhere. What are you talking about? I could think of a better one than that. I mean, fair play, maybe he's a big basketball fan, but that is not what you think when you watch Sugar Sean O'Malley. You don't go, it's no fucking wonder he's not fighting ranked guys. It's no wonder motherfucker hasn't got a signature celebration. What's your signature celebration?
I don't have one. I have nothing to celebrate. I mean,
it's the truffle shuffle.
Okay.
The truffle shuff shuff.
I mean, you know, you talk about Tito Ortiz with the Gravedigger. You got, you know, the
Iceman.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I never had one. I mean, the ripping out the mouth guard and then throwing up the fingers on top of the cage is pretty iconic.
Yeah, one time, never got to do it again after that. Oh, dear. Fucking hell. Hey, no, listen, O'Malley was awesome. O'Malley was great. He really was. He impressed me there. Piva, certainly possesses skills. Black belt in jiu-jitsu. He was with Team Alpha Male. I thought he was going to try and take him down. He caught a couple of kicks, tried to turn that into a takedown. Didn't come close. O'Malley's movement around, he was in and out. I mean, he jabs and then he moves away out of range. And then he circles and he resets. And he does that a lot. And then, of course, it was that right hand that really was the beginning of the end. Turned it on, let the hands go. Blistering speed, good power. Takes him out of there. Hey, job well fucking done. You know, in fact, I'll reach out to O'Malley, get him on the podcast because now he's going to fight someone ranked. Now he's got to fight somebody ranked. I think somebody from 15 to 10, not in the 10 to 5 range, too soon. You know, you just got ranked. Fight somebody in the rankings. A Rafael Assunção, Rafael, should I say. Maybe a Pedro Munhoz, you know. Perhaps a, that's where you come in.
Oh, I mean, hell, the fight with Frankie Edgar is still there if Frankie wants it.
Don't do that to Frankie. What are you doing? Frankie got knocked out against Chito. He's been getting knocked out, okay?
Okay, I mean, Marlon Moraes has not exactly had the cleanest bill of health recently.
Marais.
You know, sure, I literally am just referencing a meme I saw on UFC Reddit today where it's Cruz, Edgar, and Moraes all pointing at each other as the Spider-Man meme, being like, you're the one who's going to have to get sacrificed to O'Malley. Because that does feel like the next step, right? One of these absolute legendary veterans facing Sean O'Malley, letting him make his name with a signature knockout there. I mean,
it ain't going to be Cruz, because Cruz... I think if I'm Dominic Cruz, shout out Dom, well done at the weekend. DC kept it very professional, I thought, as well. Considering last week's events, I thought he did a very professional job. Because I would have said, you know, when Dom got knocked down in the first round, I went, oh, Dom didn't do his research. I could not have resisted that line. But I think Dom should fight Corey Sandhagen. So that should be his next fight, or even a Jose Aldo. But Jose and TJ, you never know, that fight might be made. But Dom should fight Corey Sandhagen. I think Dom's a little too high up the pecking order. And you're right. And a Assunção, a Munhoz, an O'Malley. It's got O'Malley.
Moraes.
A Frankie Edgar, a Moraes. It's got to be one of those guys. It has to be.
I mean, there's one fight sitting there, which I don't think he's going to take. It's number Chito 11. Vera. Our buddy Chito is chilling there.
That's the fight. That's the fight to make. Chito Vera. I mean, Chito will take it. He's not asked. He doesn't see it as a fluke. He sees it as a legitimate win, rightly so. O'Malley's pissed. I asked him about it last week. He said, yeah, I will 100% take that. But again, the problem with that matchup is because you fuck one of them. They're both stars. Chito's great. You give him a loss, that's a massive setback. O'Malley's on the rise big time. You give him a loss, two in a row to Marlon Vera, slows the momentum, slows down the possibility of these huge fights for him down the line, you know. So fan perspective, logical matchup, yes, but it kind of derails one of them, and they're both on a trajectory to doing great things, you know what I mean?
Speaking of trajectory, I got to give Sean O'Malley all the credit in the world, right? This guy comes out, he says he's willing to take the bigger fights if he gets a bigger paycheck. Dana White himself came out and said, look, all I hear from this guy, right, is that he wants bigger fights if he's getting bigger money. It's time to talk to him about bigger money and start booking some of these bigger fights. I mean, you know, set
your intention. Is that what Dana said?
Dana came out and said that word for word.
That's nice. I mean, I like that because, you know, he's talking about bigger money for bigger fights. Fair enough, I guess, you know, and Dana acknowledges that because the fact is O'Malley's a star, man. He's a fucking star. And he said it to me last week. He said, could you imagine I fight my way up? My camera's doing my head and it keeps auto-focusing. So I apologize. People, I'll have it sorted for the next show. He was like, could you imagine me fighting Piotr Jan for the belt? And could you imagine that? That would, what a fucking sensational moment that would be, because we're talking another, let's say if he takes it slow, another 3-4 fights in that meantime. If he has 3 more victories, 4 more victories, whatever, puts on shows, gets better and better, you know, gets better on the microphone, builds an even bigger fan base, you know, we're talking not quite Conor McGregor levels, but you know, it would be special if and when that moment came.
I mean, you know, to be honest, the other side of it too is if he keeps getting up in these big time spots on these big time cards where he is a legitimate draw at the front end of that pay-per-view, right? Like for everybody who signed up to for Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier, Amanda Nunes, I mean, I probably 40%, 50%, 60% as many signed up for that pay-per-view for Sean O'Malley. He is really connecting with the younger generation, and there's no reason why he couldn't be the Zoomer Conor McGregor, you know?
No, absolutely. No, no, no. And that's what I'm talking about, because that's what he brings to the table. He certainly resonates with the younger crowd, you know, because like if you look at all these young rappers now, the new rappers that I don't know the fucking names of. I don't. And now, these all are probably old hat now, but like Lil Yachty, fucking Rich the Kid or whatever. I don't fucking know who the new rappers are, okay? But they've got stupid fucking names. One thing I do see, though, is fucking hair all over the place. Bright colors, tattoos on faces, 6'9", Takeshi 6'9". I know he's a bit old hat now, but same shit. You know, he looks like a white version from Minnesota of him, doesn't he? In fact, Sean Strickland had something to say about that recently, didn't he? What did he say?
Well, he did, actually. If you notice, Sugar Sean O'Malley does have a 6'9 tattooed on him by Takeshi 6'9".
On his face?
I mean, I don't know if it's on his face. It's somewhere on his body. He has a 6'9 tattoo, and it was done by 6'9".
So he let another man tattoo 69 actually on his shoulder. Thank God it wasn't on his butt cheeks. You know what I mean? I'm going to 69 you, baby. First of all, I'm going to mark you for life. The word 69. Dude. I don't know, sexual connotation.
No, I'm going to brand you.
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Harrington. And what did Strickland say about this?
Okay, so here's what happened. Sean O'Malley, you know, he said, you know, he really doesn't want to get booked on the same card as Sean Strickland. He said, you know, I can't get on that card. I'm scared of that motherfucker murdering me. Like, actually.
Rightly so.
I probably would not want to be around that dude. He kind of seems like a fucking freak and psychopath. Like, if he had a chance to kill someone, he probably would do it. So it's like, I wouldn't even want to fight on that motherfucker's card. He'd be like, I cannot have two Seans on this card.
That's enough for Strickland. He's called Sean. He has the same name as me. Here, pass me a rifle or I'm going to strangle you to death. Yeah, he might strangle him. He might kill someone. You know, Sean is a nutter. I like it, though. I like him. I like the way he fights. I like what he says. Not sure I agree with it all, you know, but entertainment factor is there.
So Strickland did not take kindly to this. He jumped on, you know, his Twitter. He said, you know, wake up. Sugar Sean woke up one day and said, you know, that guy who snitched on all his friends and did something shady with a minor. Yeah, that's the guy I want him to tattoo his name on me. You know, Sugar Sean walks around holding his pocket. LOLOLOL.
What does that mean? Holding his pocket? I am not down with these fucking cop holding his pocket. What does that mean?
It's like a prison term for somebody who swings with the same sexual orientation.
Really?
you have your jail girlfriend hold your pocket when you're going to like the cafeteria to let everybody know.
How many times you held someone's pocket, Harrington?
I've never held anyone's
pocket.
Don't lie.
You seem very familiar with this process. Brian, have you seen him holding pockets?
At least Lewis's once.
Oh, I should have known. You are a major pocket holder for Lewis, but still, well done, Brian. Well done. Okay. Sean Strickland, we don't want to talk too much about him because I might get murdered. I see him a lot. In fact, I saw him at the Submission Underground thing, I think, yesterday. Getting choked out, but he took it. He turned his back, and then the guy jumped on him, choked him out pretty good. And then he just laughed about it. He's a good sport. He is.
To be fair, Mike, you know, as much as you see Sean Strickland, he sees you twice as much, right? He's got his eyes on you at all times. He's probably looking through the windows right now. Oh, fuck you, Brian. Fuck you.
You were saying?
I just meant Sean Strickland's in your bushes right now, stalking your house. I don't know. I wasn't really going anywhere with it.
Yeah. He's down in my bushes because we've got vermin around everywhere. They're still fucking here, still hammering away, chipping away, banging away, painting away, carpentering away. Anyway, what else have we got to talk about in these notes? I mean, we had some other great fights, but is there any other big news? I mean, Taito Avasa shooing it up all over the place. He looked fucking sensational. A nice, composed, mature performance, good skill. I mean, that was nice boxing from Taito Avasa, man. Any boxer, any heavyweight boxer that finished somebody with that kind of combination and that skill would be really proud of that. Taito Avasa, I thought, looked sensational.
And it's like, you know, this is a guy who obviously a fan favorite, right? Obviously can, you know, he has name value, has name recognition. I feel like he's fought on like the last two or three cards O'Malley has. So they're clearly trying to give him some kind of a push here. Let me see where I don't see him in the rankings. I mean, do you see a fight in the top 15 coming for him anytime soon?
There has to be. He's a fan favorite. People love him. I think predominantly now he's fighting on pay-per-views as well, which is massive exposure. Massive exposure. It really is. So, yeah, I see a ranked opponent pretty soon. You know, he was in there for a little bit, weren't he? But he had a couple of losses, I believe. Blagoy Ivanov was the first one. Then there was a couple. Did he lose three in a row? I think it might have been three in a row. He had some tough losses. But I think now he's on a three-fight win streak, and they might, or four-fight win streak maybe, all knockouts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so he had three back-to-back losing to DeSantos, Ivanov, and Spivak, and then he has since gone on a four-fight win streak. Yep. All of them KOs, TKOs, Struve, Hunsucker, Hardy, and now Sakai. I made a mistake. Sakai was ranked number 11 coming into the weekend's part, so I'm sure when they update it later today, he'll be number 11.
So he'll be number 11, eh? Well done. I'm going to try and get Ty on as well. We've tried to make it happen a few times. In fact, we've got Alexander Volkanovski joining the show pretty soon as well. We've got Alexander Rakic. He's going to join us on Thursday. Anthony Smith is coming back. We got fighters. We got O'Malley. We got people joining. The number one MMA podcast, comedy, good time to spend an hour and 20-ish type show on the fucking internet, baby boys.
We got the title, everyone.
That's the title. That is the title. Today, we are welcoming back IP Vanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours, so it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IP Vanish. Okay, you're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media, and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on. Okay, IP Vanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is ipvanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay, what else? We should go through some news. What's going on in the news? So John Jones got roasted. Is that what you're saying? By Kayla Harrison? Oh, no, by Chael Sonnen at the World MMA Awards, which, by the way, I won Analyst of the Year.
Congratulations. I didn't know you were such a big anal guy.
I love like a bit that. Of anal. That's why I'm the analyst of the year. No, what did you say, Brian? You normally your one-liners are good. What did you say?
I just said I wouldn't say it like that.
Yeah, analyst of the year. Bow, 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 bow. I'm going to bring back those sound drops, Brian. What was I going to say?
They're in there. It just happened. Watch.
Oh, it's there. Good, good, good. And if we need that, I'd be embarrassed and all those type of things. And Bisping said it best. We've got to bring those back, baby. Got to bring those back. What was I saying? So, yeah, I won Analyst of the Year. Thank you very much. But Chael Sonnen opened it up, and you're saying he was talking a lot of shit about John Jones?
I mean, he was talking a lot of shit about a lot of people. But, yeah, John Jones did kind of catch it at the end there. Conor McGregor caught some. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, you know, he just went after pretty much everybody in the MMA world, like good old Uncle Chael.
Let's have a look.
And Dylan Danises. Now, most of you have come up to me already, and you said, Chael, you're the greatest undefeated heavyweight UFC champion of all time. You say, you're the greatest commentator I've ever seen. You have the number one podcast. What are you doing at the award show? Well, quite frankly, I'm here because I love this sport. I love the fighters, the coaches.
Bless.
I love the referees. I love the ring card girls, and I want to make sure they get the recognition that they deserve. And because me hosting would mean nobody watching. And by the way, I want you all to see them come on stage and thank me. So you're welcome in advance. It's the holiday season, and this is my gift to you.
All right. Okay. He's going on. Waiting for a joke, Chael. Waiting for a joke, buddy. Haven't yet had one. But still, no, he's good. Chael's great at what he does. And we've got to get him on the show as well. I'll reach out. Do us a favor. give us some suggestions, everybody, on people that we should get on for the new year. We'll try and get a little schedule lined up for the next 6-8 show or something like that. What else we got, Harrington? Anything worth mentioning?
I mean, you know, Conor McGregor was notably not that chatty during this pay-per-view,
yeah.
But he did hop on the next day with one question in mind.
Go on.
When am I fighting Oliveira? So what date am I fighting Oliveira?
I predict these things.
Well, what did Dana say at the post-fight press conference? He said something that kind of made it sound that he might get that, you know? At the end of the day, Conor is the fucking biggest star. And at the end of the day, Conor versus anybody is going to do fucking gangbusters. And Conor versus Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title, people are going to watch, you know? And how many fights has Conor got left? We don't know. You know? I'd say you match him with Nate Diaz before Nate Diaz leaves the company. But if you're Conor McGregor, I'm not sure that's the right fight. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is the right fight. You know, maybe you can knock him out. Maybe the left hand can get it done, you know, or maybe he gets taken down and choked out, you know, and then where is it? I don't know. It's a tough one. But I don't think Charles Oliveira is fighting Conor McGregor next. He's fighting Justin Gaethje. Whoever wins that is going to fight Islam versus Beneil winner. And then Conor will come back, you know, and who knows, maybe Dustin fights Conor. And then Dustin beats Conor, fights for the belt, or Conor beats Dustin and Conor fights for the belt. But there's the scenarios. You can't blame him for saying that because Dana said, I think that was it. He said, oh, Conor said he's coming back and fighting for the belt straight away. We'll see how this plays out. He never shut that down and said, hey, no, that ain't happening. Don't be silly. You know, so you never know. Might happen.
Well, he did say, though, in that post-fight presser that Gaethje versus Oliveira is next, right? So
yes.
There is, you know, there definitely is a world in which Oliveira gets through that. Conor McGregor is ready to go. His tibia is healed up, whatever. And they say, screw it. Why not? I mean, the interesting thing for me is just, you know, I was talking to Brian before the show. If he's able to tee off on Oliveira the same way that Dustin Poirier was and land those big shots early, could McGregor get that done, or do you think Oliveira's chin stands up to current Conor McGregor?
Yeah, no. Listen, of course, Conor's got great punching power. You know, he's very slick. He's very good. You know, he got beat by Dustin the last two times out, you know, so. But that doesn't take away what he's achieved in the past. He's put on some phenomenal performances inside the octagon. Look at what he did against Eddie Alvarez. Now, granted, everybody has a peak. Everyone has a peak in combat sports, and it's hard to stay at that peak forever. That was 5 years ago. Almost 6 years ago now when we get to 2022, you know. So can he replicate those kind of performances? That's what everyone wants to know. That's what makes it so exciting. Can Conor come back and reclaim the greatness that he had and become the champion of the world? That's the story. That's the people that worship Conor. That's what they want to see. And that's what the haters want to know an answer to. They want to laugh at him when he can't achieve it. And that's sports. You know what I mean? Whether it's football, you got a team, you got your supporters rooting for you, then you got the opposite team rooting against you. The Collins done a great job in being absolutely polarizing. You know, polarizing is great. Half of them want you to fucking win with passion, and the other half want you to fucking lose with passion. You know what I mean? And when you're a fucking fight guy, that's the best position to be in, because either way, people are tuning in to watch you fight. And hey, it's not impossible. He could come back and knock out Charles Oliveira. Of course he could. It would be insulting to say otherwise. Of course he could. Do I see it happening? I don't know. More than likely not. But I wouldn't put $325,000 on him to win $40,000. That's for damn sure.
Oh, man. Yeah. Speaking of large sums of money, shout out to Dana White here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people got 50K wow. bonuses on Saturday night. 6 performance bonuses, and then Cruz versus Munoz got the fight of the night honors.
That's nice. For a cool $400,000 there being forked out. Well done to Dana. Cruz Munoz, thought it was a great fight. Cruz got rocked in the first round, came back. Completely looked different in the second and third. Way more aggressive. In and out movement, side to side was all really good. Classic Dominic Cruz, but he was a bit more aggressive. You know, and when he tightened up the boxing a little bit, left less openings for Munoz to counter. And yeah, well done, Dom. Well done, Dom. Not an easy fight. Okay, granted, Munoz has lost, I think, 4 out of his last 5 as well. But only against really high-level competition. We're talking the best people. We're talking Jose Aldo's. We're talking, you know, Dominic Cruz's. We're talking people like that. You know, so well done, Cruz. Another solid win. I say, so Corey Sandhagen, if he beats Corey, title shot, win the belt, call it a day, get out of there.
Dude, there was something about Cruz in that third round, right? When he was just sticking and moving. He knew he had the lead. He knew he'd gotten ahead on the scorecards. And it was like 1-2, and I am not going to be anywhere near danger for the next, like, you know, 30 seconds or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He had Munoz swinging a fresh air. He had Munoz looking like, I don't know, you and Lewis sparring. Oh, you know what I mean? It was not good. It was not good to watch. Brian, we have a catalogue of questions today, I believe. Unfortunately, I've only got 10 more minutes. Little Lucas will be by himself. Little Lucas may be kidnapped. Little Lucas will be walking down the streets by himself, waiting to be picked up. Rebecca and Elliot, they're off. They're gone. It's me. I'm holding down the fort. I've got to pick him up. I got to go. Listen, believe it or not, I'm committed to the website, to the podcast. I mean, I'm committed to the believers. I'll do whatever I can. But I'm not sacrificing my son's life so we can have an extra 10 minutes on the podcast. Call me crazy. Call me selfish. But that's where I'm at right now.
I know.
And the little shit could walk home. I said, it's only like a mile and a half. He can start walking home. Rebecca would not have it. I used to walk home at about 8 years old, I think. That's something like that. What about you guys?
To school when I was young by myself, walk to and from school when I was real young.
Yeah. And we don't live in New York City. This is a very safe neighborhood.
I would walk to and from. But it was like a block. It was not a mile and a half. That's a long way for a kid to be gone.
Mine was about a mile.
Yeah, mine was about 2 miles, you know.
All right, no need to brag.
No one, you know, and I turned out okay. Little Lucas, he's going to be standing there. Pedophiles, nonces, a lot of bad people about. I'm sorry, I'm not going to risk him, you know. What was I going to say?
So
if you have a video question, please send them in to bympod@gmail.com. Also, if you want to buy merch, bymmerch.com is the website. Harrington, you got a couple of things to say, right? Oh, sporting the Devil's Avocado shirt there, by the way. Looking slick. I got to speak to our guy. We're going to get some more merch for the new year. So get ready for that. But Harrington, go ahead.
Yeah, if you enjoy this show, you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you click that follow button, subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that follow button and make sure you also click the notification bell so you know whenever we drop a new video. And if you enjoy this content and want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM30. Get yourself a 30-day free trial. Check out the entire network for the rest of the month of December into the new year. Happy holidays.
There you go. Happy holidays indeed. Read like a pro, Harrington. You are a pro. Brian, just give me a bit of context on these questions. Are we talking suitable? Are we talking NSFW?
No.
I know that one. I don't know the cap. I don't know the fucking, what was the other one?
Pocket. Hold my pocket.
Pocket holders. NSFW?
No, this one's going to be good because we're not going to be able to get to all three. We're just going to get to maybe this one, and then I have somebody sent in a music section.
We're getting to all three. I don't care. I'm going to risk Lucas. But I'll just drive like the wind. Listen, I'm committed to this right now. The wheels are in motion. If Lucas dies, he dies. If he dies, he dies. Okay? I hopefully he doesn't. But question one, without further ado.
So this is from a gentleman named Hayden Melon Khan. He says his name. I don't know, but he says
Hayden Melancholy.
Yeah, something like that. But
he's got a melancholy. He's got a collie melon. Look at the size of his head. Nice one, Hayden.
What's up, everybody? Hayden Melon from right outside New Orleans, Louisiana. Here, I got a few things to ask. One, I have a big commute to work, so I've been listening to your audiobook. Were you given the option, Michael Bisping, to narrate your own audiobook? I'm really enjoying it, but every time he says I or me, I'm thinking this isn't Michael Bisping. This is some dude named Jonathan. So why is it you didn't narrate it, especially since you're into acting and whatnot now? To piggyback off of that, next question is, what did it make you feel like when you were filming this most recent movie to play such a slime ball? Like, you know, did it make you feel like, oh man, like even though I'm just reading lines off of a paper, like, does it make you feel some kind of way about playing such a bad character? You know, I've always wondered that about the guys that played, like, you know, the Jokers and Hannibal Lecters and all these evil characters. And lastly, I just want to give a negative shout out to who actually picks the video questions. I've been trying to get video questions on here for a long time, and people steady asking you what you eat for after you weigh in and stuff. Like,
yes,
man, real questions, please.
Thank you, Hayden.
Man, Harrington, I don't understand the hate. I don't dislike you more than anyone else, unless you pick the questions.
Yeah, he just dislikes you the same amount as everybody else. Thank you, Hayden. Great set of questions there. I'm going to chime through them real quick. Number one, audio book. Yes, listen, Quitters Never Win. It's available. Buy it. Sunday Times bestseller. Available on audio. Reason being, I was very busy. I tried to do the audio. I wasn't in a studio. I was in a hotel. People kept knocking on the fucking door. The room service kept coming in. There was fucking like people having sex in the next room. It was a fucking nightmare. Do you know what I mean? And in the end, I was like, I can't do this. Fuck it. Someone else got to do it. Do you know what I mean? I dedicated many hours to it. Never happened. So there you go. Sorry about that, Hayden. Number two, I think he's talking about the movie that I did recently, Never Back Down, Revolt. In that, I play a real, real nasty son of a bitch that kidnaps and abuses women. Did not feel bad for 1 second, was not conflicted for half a second because it's just acting and I'm playing a role. And believe it or not, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. I like being a bad guy. I have died in a multitude of ways. It's a lot of fun. I don't think I'm some big time Hollywood fucking actor. I don't, but I do enjoy it. And I'm still trying to chip away that side of things. The main thing for that was having the fight scenes. I never had a, you know, I don't want to give it away too much if you haven't seen the movie, but all the fight scenes were against women generally. And, you know, at one point I have a fight scene with three women at once. And these are actors. You know, and the women and the small and the dainty and the frail, but you've got to make it look real on camera. Do you know what I mean? So when you're throwing women around with a guy, you know that you don't want to hurt anyone, of course, but with a guy, they can take a little bit more rough and tumble. Do you know what I'm saying? With a girl, so like, I got to squeeze her by the fucking neck. I'm like, okay, is the pressure okay? Is that okay? That's not too tight, is it? No, it's not tight enough. How about that? Like, oh, fucking hell. I'm out. Happy medium. Let's find
Biz been killed
medium.
Another one.
Yeah, sorry. No, there was a woman. There was a woman claimed I hurt her wrist. I did not touch her fucking wrist. She was like, and they got ice on it and everything. I'm like, you're just trying to make me look bad. Shame on you.
Shame.
Where she just wanted that like SAG insurance. She was like, yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
A couple days.
You get a boost in pay if you get injured on the job.
SAG shit is scheming. I did not touch her wrist. I did not touch it. I did it. And she claimed that I fucking hurt her wrist. And I'm like, and then I had to beat up three women at once and make it look weird. Yeah. So that was a challenge. But happy to report that nobody got hurt other than that girl on the first day of shooting when it wasn't even a fight scene. I never even touched a wrist. No, it's great, though. The fight scenes are awesome. Check it out. Never Back Down was Revolt. And then what was the last part?
So the last part was to me. And
yeah, Brian.
As a rebuttal, this is the third question this guy's got on the show. And sometimes we don't get to play all the questions I load up. So we have to move on to the next week's load of questions. So yeah. I'm sorry. And we're a little backed up on stuff. So I got you this week. Sorry.
Hey, but we're back with two shows a week, with guests, with hot content, with video questions that Brian will play.
I'd just like to say that this is the third question that this guy had got on.
All right. Honestly, relax. Relax, Brian. Relax. He hasn't offended anyone. I actually wanted to know for him. I was offended myself. For him. You know? What else we got?
We got one here from Mr. Trent.
Lucas Shepherd. Is being led into a car as we speak. Come on, Trent. Make it quick.
G'day, boys. Trent from Australia here. Just looking at it from a promotional point of view, if you were to branch away from UFC and start fresh, would you choose to sign the best fighters, a.k.a. Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson, or the most interesting fighters, someone like a Mike Perry? And why would you choose that? I'm actually really interested to hear Harrington's point of view, and I guess Brian can get in as well. Good on you, boys.
Cheers, man. Appreciate the question. Thank you very much. Much love to everyone in Australia, by the way. Tales from the Octagon coming down there pretty soon. Go to fucking, I don't know, myticket.com.au or some shit. I'll give you a proper fucking website next week. If I was stepping away from the UFC and starting a promotion, would I want the best fighters in the world? Yes, of course. but you also do want some characters, you know what I mean? Not necessarily psychos that are going to bring bad press, but you could say there's no such thing as bad press, you know what I mean? And you do need these kind of people, these characters, people with charisma, people that people want to see fight, whether that's for the right reason or the wrong reason. I don't know. What do you think, Harrington?
I would 100% prefer the interesting characters, because ultimately, if you're starting an organization like that, if you have the best fighters on the planet, you don't have, you know, the second and third tier of fighter, right? Like, you don't have anyone who's like a worthy competitor to that person, right? So it's just going to turn into a showcase for the Fedors and whoever else of the world.
Yeah, but you need a bit of both. You need a bit of everything, because you need, obviously, when you sign new, you want the best guys. And you want best guys with charisma, if possible. Look at Conor McGregor. Look at Israel Adesanya. The list goes on.
I would watch Crazy Horse and Mike Perry fight every week.
Yeah, me too. Me too. In fact, Julian Lane of the Let Me Bang Bro fame, if you remember that fucking embarrassing debacle from years ago on The Ultimate Fighter, Mike Perry, they were getting into a brawl. Do we have the tape? I believe we do. Lucas is currently being offered sweets and shown puppy dogs. Okay. If you have the video, play it quick.
It looks like it got removed from Instagram since we started recording the show.
Well, Julian Lane and Mike Perry were throwing down. They were banging one another. They were banging all over the place. They were letting each other bang, bro. They were holding pockets, and while saying that's cap, and that's a show, and that's it. That's a cap. Hold my pocket. I got to get in a rocket and get my school boy, Lucas, before he gets abducted. There it is. Mike Perry. Everyone loves that psycho. Julian Lane. Fuck off out of my consciousness again, please, because you're I don't want to talk about you. That's it. That's the show. I gotta go. 3, 2, 1. We'll be back on Thursday. Harrington Bryan, love you loads. Thank you very much. Great show. Good energy. See you Thursday. Thanks for watching, everyone. Subscribe. Tell your friends. All that good stuff. But Lucas, right now, is wrestling to stay alive. So goodbye. I gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go.